ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 55 चैप्टर एंटाइटल ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा। कृष्णम एम एनम अवेहित्वा आत्मानम अखिलात्मना जगदिताय सोप्यत्र देवी देहि वा भाति मायया। ट्रांसलेशन। यू शुड नो कृष्णा टू बी द ओरिजिनल सोल ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज। फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ द होल यूनिवर्स ही हैज आउट ऑफ हिज कॉजलेस मर्सी अपीयर्ड एज एन ऑर्डिनरी ह्यूमन बीइंग। ही हैज डन दिस बाय द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ हिज इंटरनल पोटेंसी। पर्पोरेटेड डिसिपल्स ऑफ एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 20, text number 162, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. Quote, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadev Goswami why Krishna was so beloved by the residents of Vrindavan, who loved him even more than their own offspring or life itself. At that time, Sukadev Goswami replied that everyone's atma or soul is very, very dear, especially to all living entities who have accepted material body. However, that atma, the spirit soul, is part and parcel of Krishna. For this reason, Krishna is very dear to every living entity. Everyone's body is very dear to oneself, and one wants to protect the body by all means because within the body, the soul is living. Due to the intimate relationship between soul and body, the body is important and dear to everyone. Similarly, the soul being part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is very, very dear to all living entities. Unfortunately, the soul forgets his constitutional position and thinks he is only the body, Dehatma Buddhi. Thus, the soul is subjected to the rules and regulations of material nature. When a living entity by his intelligence reawakens his attraction for Krishna, he can understand that he is not the body but part and parcel of Krishna. Thus, filled with knowledge, he no longer labors under attachment to the body and everything related to the body. Janasya moham aham mameti. Material existence wherein one thinks, I am the body and this belongs to me, is also illusory. One must redirect his attraction to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.7 states, Vasudeve Bhagavate Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Ashvairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahetukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Goddess Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Krishna. So now that Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna is over, Sukadev Goswami is informing Parikshit Maharaj about the glory of the Lord. And also in this particular verse mentions how Krishna is the original soul of all living entities. And in the purport, a quote by Sukadev Goswami is there, where he is saying that everyone's atma is very, very dear, especially to all living entities who have accepted material body. This is a fact. Everyone loves their own body. Being this material world, we have accepted this material body. And since time immemorial, we have been doing that. And we have become so much attached that we orchestrate our whole life just to serve this body. In fact, the whole cosmetic industry is just to how nicely you can take care of this body. Though it is said in the Shastra that one should take care of the body because the soul is living in this body. But then we we go beyond that more, we just try to decorate more than necessary. The costliest industry is the cosmetic industry now. You add the word cosmetic, everything rises, the price. Because people are ready to do anything to see that they look beautiful. They do anything and everything for bodily comforts. Whatever is necessary, they would like to do. So dear to that. Body is dear to every one of us. It's a fact. Everyone likes to have their own body to look nice. As I was saying that, you know, if you keep a mirror somewhere on the way, somebody, however busy he may be, but if he sees a mirror, he'll stop, just try to see whether his hair is okay, and then he goes ahead. You know, that I noticed because my dispenser has a, you know, two-way glass. So from outside it appears like a mirror, from inside it is glass. So when people come, they just see like this. You can't see who is inside, but you can make out what they do. So the point is here that everyone is very attached to their body. As Srila Prabhupada would always mention that, you know, many places that we are not this body, we are not bodies. But we may say, we may give big lecture also, but then ultimately when you come to the platform of, you know, doing some activity, we also are attached to that body. We are also attached to the body. What is the use of this body? Prabhupada mentions that once a soul leaves his body, then if you want to sell this, the chemical, it will cost you only about 13 rupees. Maybe now the price may have gone more, but that time he said 13 rupees. But then there's no value, right? But why this body has got the value? Because the soul is within the body. That's why the value is there. A person may look attractive. Why? Because not because of the body, but because the soul is within the body, that's why the person looks attractive. It's not that the body makes a person attractive, but the soul within makes the body attractive. You know, like when somebody leaves the body, then you know we want to take out the body as fast as possible, even though the body may be the most beautiful body in the entire creation. But still, you don't want to keep the body and, you know, preserve them and keep it in a nice showcase for everyone to see. It's a soul within the body which makes the body attractive. And because there is a relation between soul and body, the soul does everything, you know, for the comfort of the body. So here, it's mentioned that, you know, Krishna is very dear to every living entity. Everyone's body is very dear to oneself and one wants to protect the body by all means, because within the body the soul is living. And due to the intimate relation between the soul and the body is important and dear to everyone. So this is a very important point here which is made, that because the soul is within the body gets that importance. Otherwise, you know, you just don't even bother to care about that. But Maya's illusion is just to make us think and make us act on the platform of this body. And all the activities that we do, or maybe like, you know, whatever duties we perform, all this is on the platform body. Janasya moham ammibiti, me and mine. That if something is relation with the body, I would like to take care of it. You know, that's how the whole, you know, material existence is moving under this principle. Why? Because the soul forgets that he is a part and parcel of the Lord, Supreme Lord. Ultimately, you know, we all know within heart of heart that we are not this body, but then when we act at the platform of body. It's the greatest illusion, right? Even the person who is illiterate also, or person who is a very educated person also, you know, he may act, but then when actually the person dies, then he says, oh, he is gone. You know, ultimately he makes a statement that he is gone. The body is still there, but he says he is gone. But then when you have to act, you actually act, you know, on the platform. That's why when somebody dies and you take them to the crematorium, you have that what is called a smashan vairagya. Temporarily you will feel that, oh, what is the use of all this existence? And oh, we are not this body. Ultimately everything has to be left one time. But then ultimately we all act on this platform. Here it is mentioned that Dehatma Buddhi, he thinks that he is only the body and forgets his constitutional position. In fact, you know, just as someone takes care of the body and comforts his body by all means, sometimes a person may even inconvenience his body for something higher also, you know, for own purposes or for own selfish purposes. Like we see in the case of Hiranyakashipu, you know, he actually put his body into so much inconvenience because he wanted something. Ultimately, the purpose is to enjoy. That's all, nothing else. The purpose is to enjoy this material existence. So for that reason, you inconvenience your body for some time and ultimately then you can enjoy. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to inconvenience his body for many years, but for what? Because he wanted to make himself immortal. Why? Because soul by nature is immortal and he wants to remain forever. Because the nature of the soul. But he thinks that he is a body, that's the reason he wants to keep the body also immortal. And then when Brahma said, I cannot make you immortal, he said, okay. Then he had different ideas how we can make his body immortal. So he got this benediction from the Lord, from Brahma, that, you know, see that I'm not killed by so and so, not in the day, not in night, outside, inside, by astra and bashastra, so many things. Ultimately, he has to leave the body, actually. So an intelligent person understands, or maybe starts to wonder, that what is it that really I should be doing? In fact, who am I? If I am the soul, then why am I not acting on the platform of the soul? And if I am the soul, then what is the nature of the soul? What should be the purpose of my life? When you come to that understanding, then you start acting on the platform of the soul beyond the body. So here he has mentioned that when a living entity by his intelligence reawakens his attraction for Krishna, he understands he is not a body but part and parcel of Krishna. We have seen many lectures up till now, heard also, that where, you know, instead of being self-absorbed, we become Krishna-absorbed. Like Vraj Bihari Prabhu on Sunday mentioned that, you know, rather than being self-absorbed, we become Krishna-absorbed. So we find that the great souls, they really perform activities for the pleasure of the Lord, and they want to please the Lord. They want to please the Lord and his devotees. And because they want to please the Lord and devotees, they just are ready to do anything and everything, you know, beyond the bodily conceptions. He gave a very nice example of Madhvendra Puri, how Madhvendra Puri did anything, everything for the pleasure of the Lord, not caring for his own bodily conveniences, in fact, right? We also see in the Shastra how Haridas Thakur never cared about his bodily inconvenience. When he was beaten into 22 marketplaces, he was all the time thinking about, you know, please Lord, forgive them. All the time chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then when, you know, the executioner said that after 22 marketplaces, nothing was happening to him. The executioner said, our life will be in danger because the Qazi will kill us. So just for that sake, he was ready to relinquish his body. He was ready to give up his body for the sake of someone else, you know. That's what a great soul is. A great soul is actually a paradukhadukhi. He actually does anything just to help other conditioned souls. He is pained when he sees the pain of others. That's why they are ready to do anything for this. So it's said that, you know, the great souls, when they understand that Krishna is the super soul of all souls, he then just acts on that platform of that spiritual platform, and then he makes this particular activity. He just performs these activities. We know from Chaitanya Charitamrita a very glaring example of Vasudev Dutt. How Vasudev Dutt, when he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he just had this one desire. He was saying that so many people are suffering in this material world and I am pained. Jivere dukhi dekhe, more hridaya bidare. Sarva jivera papa prabhu deho more shere. It is, I am pained to see so many people suffering, and then please let the sins of all these conditioned souls be on me. And this is jivere papalana mani karo naraka boga sakala jivere prabhu guchaba bhavaroga. That let their sins come upon me and let me suffer for those sins. And you just deliver them from all their sinful activities. So this is a prayer of a soul who is acting on that platform, where he understands that, you know, that Krishna is the super soul. We are all parts and parcel. So he doesn't consider that, you know, somebody else who is related to my body is only mine. But he sees that everyone is his brother and sister. Everyone is his brother. Because he sees that Krishna is a super soul. So Vasudeva on that platform is thinking that, you know, please let me suffer the sinful reactions of all these conditioned souls. You please deliver all of them. Now that is something very high. We, of course, I cannot think about it like that. But the point here, Srila Prabhupada is trying to make, that how a devotee is paradukha dukhi, he cannot see the suffering of the other conditioned souls, because he sees everyone as Krishna's parts and parcels. And because of that, he thinks that I should just do something for them. And he's ready to suffer all the inconveniences for that pleasure. Srila Prabhupada mentions that this is Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? That is that if somebody can, you know, make an extra effort for the suffer inconveniences for the welfare of other living entities. So Vasudeva was on that platform. He was thinking that let me suffer. I don't want any of the pleasures. Let me suffer all the sinful reactions of these living entities. You please deliver them. Of course, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this, he is so happy. He is just has tears in his eyes. But he says, like, you know, tumara vichitra nahi, tumi sakshat prallada, tumara upare krishnera sampurna prasada. Says, now I can know that by your thought like this, you are actually none other than Prahlad, because Prahlad Maharaj also, you know, desired the same. Tumara upare krishnera sampurna prasada. Now I know that you have got the mercy of the Lord. And says, Krishna says, satya kare yehi mage britya, britya vancha purti vinu nahi anya kritya. He says, Krishna's desire is yehi mage britya. What is the Krishna's desire? Is to fulfill the desire of his devotees. Britya vancha purti vinu nahi anya kritya. Krishna doesn't know anything else. Krishna knows only how to fulfill the desires of his living entities, that's of souls, of his pure souls. And this is actually one of the most important thing, you know. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning, he's quoting Shuta Kirti Prabhu, that how one devotee would go for a morning walk, a new person would go for a morning walk, would not ask any question. But then when Srila Prabhupada was about to sit in the car, he just stood in between the door, Srila Prabhupada, and said, Prabhupada, tell me, what is Krishna consciousness in one word? And Srila Prabhupada said, desire. You know? And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning that this is one thing, you know, which will separate someone, whether he is a devotee or a non-devotee. You know? How Srila Prabhupada actually, you know, he said desire, but in his own life also he did that. You know, he just only desired when he went to the West. He never, you know, thought about his bodily conveniences or his health. But all the time he was praying. In fact, on a Jaladuta, he was praying that how I can deliver all this. Please help me. Give me some words so that I can, you know, help these people, these fallen conditioned souls who are there. I do not know what I'm supposed to do. Huh? Let me be a puppet in your hands. He never thought that, you know, or he never thought that, oh, let me just have some, you know, convenience, let me have some facility there. He never desired that. He only desired that, you know, please help me to give the right words. Please give me the right words so that I can help those conditioned souls. So it is said that it's only the desire. Krishna actually sees what is the desire in us. Whether we desire something material or we desire something spiritual. Everything depends on that. If I desire something material, then we are on the battle platform. But if we desire something spiritual, then we are on the spiritual platform. In fact, elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada mentions, real welfare work is what? Is welfare work by which one can transform somebody's heart. That is a real welfare work. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example. He compares Haridas Thakur with a person called as Vidyasagar. He said that there's a person, Vidyasagar, who actually would see a prostitute standing in the middle of the road in the night. And since she would not get any customers, he would just give him 2 rupees. He says, go home. Take this money and go home. He will pay that prostitute 2 rupees and say, take that money and go home. So somebody may think that, he's such a nice person, does some welfare work and help that prostitute. The prostitute would go back to her room. She would not get any customers, she would go back. But then again, Prabhupada mentions, she would again come back the next night again to find out the customer. But he says, on the other hand is Haridas Thakur, who actually interacted with the prostitute and then within 3 days transformed the heart of the prostitute and made her a devotee of the Lord. He actually transformed her heart and made her into a devotee. And that's what the nature of a pure devotee is. And that's a real welfare work. That means you do an activity for the welfare of others, not considering your own inconveniences. That is real welfare work, Srila Prabhupada mentions very nicely. And said, Srila Prabhupada says also, Krishna orchestrates our life according to our desire. Whatever we desire, Krishna orchestrates our life accordingly. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentions, to desire material, anything material is cheating ourselves of the opportunity to perfect our life. If we desire anything material, we are actually cheating ourselves of the propensity to perfect our life. And then he makes a very nice statement. He says, how bhakti is an expression of our desire of a heart. It's nothing but an expression of a desire of our heart, And Krishna sees our desire and what all sacrifices we make to fulfill those desires. Krishna sees that in our heart. So ultimately, everything is based on what we desire. If we desire something material, then we are cheating ourselves. But if we desire something spiritual, something for the welfare of others, then we just are on the right platform. He says, what do we want? Once His Holiness Radha Maharaj, in a nice class, he was mentioning that what do we really want? In our heart, there is a lot of pride, lust, anger, greed. Do we want to perpetuate that, or do we want to just, transform our desire to something else? If you want to perpetuate, then you can just think over it and you can just do those. But if you want to overcome that, then we have to shift our desire to serving. That we should be praying to the Lord that, please, don't fulfill my pride. Free me from this. Free me from lust. Free me from anger. Free me from the effects of illusion, envy. And if you do that, then Krishna actually takes that seriously. In fact, Krishna is there to fulfill our desires. About 15 years back, our nice devotee, Madan Mohan Prabhu, he was saying that Krishna has only one role. And we have also one thing. We have one job is what? We have to desire, and Krishna's one job to fulfill our desires. That's all, nothing else. So what we desire will actually influence Krishna to what desire he should be fulfilling. If we desire something material, he'll fulfill that. So that's the thing. In fact, in the Shastras also we have so many examples of how, people, if they desire something else, they get something. Prabhupada mentions in a nice story of this Vritrasur and Indra. Now here, this particular episode is a nice episode where we'll find, you know, different personalities with different traits. Here is Indra, apparently is a devotee, but he wants his bodily comforts. Another end is Dadichi, who has been approached by the demigods and been asked to get his bones. Dadichi is ready to give up his body. And then we have Vritrasur, who apparently has a body which is not a demigod body or a body which is beautiful. It's an ugly body. But within that body is a devotee, a soul. You know. So in that particular episode, it is mentioned that how the soul, you know, Krishna actually, when Vishnu, when the demigods approach, you know, how do we kill Vritrasur? We all know the story that how Chitraketu was cursed to become a demon and Vritrasur becomes a king of demon and Indra loses all his position and he is approaching you know, Vishnu for help and Vishnu tells them that you should get the bones of Dadichi. And from their bone, you make a thunderbolt and use this and you will kill Vritrasur. And then Vishnu assures, tells that ki, you do this and you will be able to kill. He says, I love Vritrasur. Now externally, if you see, you know, Vritrasur was in a demon's body. Nobody would have ever imagined that, you know, Vritrasur would be a devotee. The demigods also did not know that Vritrasur is a devotee. But Vishnu says, I love him. Why? Because Krishna actually saw the desire within the heart of Vritrasur. What does Vritrasur desire? Vritrasur loved both the demigods and the demons. Even though externally he was fighting with the demons, with the demigods, he loved the demigods. And though he was siding on the side of the demons, you know, he still was hating them externally, but he loved this. So why? Because he was seeing on the platform of soul. He was actually doing that job on the will of the Lord. In fact, the Lord wanted him to fight, wanted him to become a demon. But within his heart, he only desired that, let me do, because this is Krishna's will. And he was fighting, and he knew that if I fight, I am going to be dying also. I am going to be leaving this body and I am going to leave this body and when I leave this body, he wants to go back to the spiritual world. That was what his desire was. Right? So here, in this particular episode, it said that on one hand, we see the demigods headed by Indra, especially Indra. Indra is on the bodily platform and is asking for the bones of Dadichi. You know, he's shameless. He's actually, you know, approaching Dadichi and says, please give me your, you know, bones. And Dadichi is ready to give the bones. In the beginning, he just asks so many questions. He says, why do you want this? In fact, you know, even Dadichi, you can imagine that he had such austerities. Because of austerities, he had, you know, made his body so strong. At the same time, he was a person who actually gave Narayan Kavach Twasta and who gave to Vishwarup. You know, so when somebody has such immense body strength, he has to become attached to his body. Right? But then, when the demigods approached him and said, please give us your bones so that we want to use these bones of yours to make a thunderbolt and kill Vritrasur. And Vritrasur was ready, Dadichi was ready to give up his body for the welfare of the demigods. So, here we find this, you know, how different personalities, but because, you know, the demigod desired, Vritrasur's desire was, okay, I'll ready to. In fact, on the battlefield of Kuru, on that battle, when they were fighting, Indra actually hurled that thunderbolt on Vritrasur. But Vritrasur took that thunderbolt and threw it aside. He just threw it back at Airavat and Airavat fell back. And Vritrasur, Indra was very scared. But then Vritrasur was encouraging Indra to fight. He was encouraging Indra to fight. Because he knew that ultimately this particular weapon is being made for him to be killed and then he will be leaving the body. So here we find that personalities with different desires, how one on a bodily concept can be so much acting in that platform. Srila Prabhupada mentions that why everyone is suffering in this material world is because of selfishness, nothing else. For our own selfish, egoistic purposes, we just suffer in this material world, nothing else. And said, because of the selfishness, we just want to make ourselves very comfortable, birth after birth after birth. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's, quote. Or Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur gives a very nice analogy, of the marriage party. He says that how in a marriage party, the boys' party was supposed to go for marriage to the other side of the river, and they got into a boat in the middle of the night. In the night, basically, they wanted to go and reach the next day morning. And the whole group, they sat in the boat. They just told the boatman that you please ferry us across as fast as possible. The boatman was also ready. He just used all his strength to, row the boat. But the next morning he saw that the boat is still there. Why? Because he had not pulled up the anchor. So it said that we may be chanting, we may be reading, we may perform all the austerities, everything, But if we have not pulled up the anchor of our material desires, of our material attachments, then we may not be able to progress anywhere. We may be there as we are, wherever we are, said. His Holiness Radha Maharaj, very nice analogy and very nice way he was mentioning that, so many times we may perform certain activities, we may be in the movement for many, many years, and we may be chanting, we may be reading, we may have memorized so many shlokas, we must have memorized all the itihasas, puranas, Mahabharat, everything. But then he was mentioning that if you don't pull up that anchor, then what happens? We will not make any progress. Nothing. And at the same time, we are allowing our weeds to grow. It said that whenever somebody expresses a desire to serve, it's like a guru sowing the seed of Bhakti Lata in our heart. The Bhakti Lata bij is sowed in our heart. But then, when a person is new, he also has so many anarthas in his heart. He has this lust, anger, greed, pride, everything in his heart. But the difference, the point is that when a neophyte is practicing Krishna consciousness, he is more focused on just nurturing that Bhakti Lata bij. And that's the reason why he is not in the position to just think about his lust, greed, anger. He is more focused on that. He says that when the problem is that when we chant the holy names, the weeds also grow, and the weeds, they suck up all this water of the benefits, and then the weeds grow up. What are these weeds? The weeds are the selfish interests, maybe the tendency to criticize, tendency to gossip, or maybe some material attachments, or maybe envy. All those things are weeds. So when we are new, we may be focusing on those things. But as and when we just, stay back for many, many years, then we think that we are senior, and then we think that we should have those facilities, or we get those facilities. And when we get the facilities, what do we think? Then we think that we have the rights to criticize. We have the right to exercise our influence over others. We have the right to criticize others. We may just try to exercise our, influence, maybe envy. All those things are actually the weeds which come out over a period of time. And these are all the ones which sap our progress in spiritual life. So it said that unless and until we just change our desire from selfish to selfless, then till that time, those desires, those weeds will also come and, you know, haunt us, and at the same time, just not allow ourselves to progress. Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, what is the use of all the philosophy without good character and integrity? There is no point. It's a fact. Like somebody who doesn't exhibit that character and somebody doesn't have that integrity, you would not, whatever philosophy he may be speaking may be of no use, because he himself does not follow that in his own life. Right? So it's said that the great souls, their desire is what? That what can I do to please? What can I do to please the Vaishnavas? What can I do to please others? And that's what a Vaishnava is. Vaishnava is one who doesn't mind putting himself in inconvenience for the welfare of others. A Vaishnava is one who is ready to take care of a body nicely for the welfare of others. And a Vaishnava is one also who is ready to, you know, give up his body for the welfare of others. That is actually a Vaishnava. You know? So Dadichi, of course, exhibited that principle of a Vaishnava, because he actually was ready to give up his life for the welfare of others. So a great devotee, he desires that what can I do to please you, my dear Lord, or what can I do to please the devotees? That is actually the desire of a devotee, a great soul. And said that, you know, if a great soul desires like this, one should be associating with those. Huh? The great soul desires, I don't want to be anyone. I just want to serve. I just want to be the servant of the servant of servant. And I'm ready to undergo any inconveniences for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas and for the pleasure of the Lord. It's like that. So it is said that in the material world, everyone is struggling to keep his body intact. Even at a sacrifice of all his possessions also. Like yesterday, Mahaprabhu was mentioning that somebody was, you know, hunter carrying a camera. And the tiger came in front. It was a costly camera. He said he threw off the camera and he just jumped up on the tree. Right? So a person is ready to do anything for his body. Right? The same, you know, 30 rupees or whatever that value of the body is there, you are ready to spend lakhs of rupees just to see that the body is intact. The body is in some disease condition, you are ready to do that. Right? So here, in this same story of Dadichi, is mentioned that everyone in the material world, every attached to the body, is struggling to keep, even at a sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who will be ready to sacrifice for anyone, even if demanded by Vishnu? Even if Vishnu demands, you are so attached to the body, you will never give that body also. Right? So then the point is that, you know, what should be done? That having the right desire, that's the most important thing. That if you desire for unalloyed devotion, then Krishna will actually give you that. He will actually give you that. You know, if you desire for unalloyed devotion, Krishna will actually give you that. So the thing is that we all want to keep our body fit for the benefit of others. And that is love. Love is what? It said that you are trying to do or willing to suffer or die for the benefit of others. Expression of love is what? You are ready to do anything and everything for the benefit of others. If you're not doing anything like that, then it's not love. Right? It said that, you know, so we, when we see the great souls, their activities, what is to imbibe is what they desire. You know, whether they desire, what is their consciousness? Is their consciousness just to please the Lord and his devotees, or is their consciousness to, you know, please themselves? So it's said that the great souls, you know, one should imbibe their character, their mood in what they do. You know, it's when the consciousness was there, I remember once His Holiness Radhan Swami Maharaj was mentioning that how one can make spiritual progress and one cannot. This was during the Gaur Purnima festival. And during the Gaur Purnima festival, you know, we would be taking the palki around just one day before the Gaur Purnima. So then just that day, he just made a statement. He said that if you are carrying a palanquin of the Lord, if you are thinking that let everyone see me who is carrying the Lord, there are two ways to be conscious. Let everyone see me who is carrying the Lord, or let everyone see the Lord whom I am carrying. So externally the activity is the same, but the thinking is different. So Isulis Radhana Maharaj was saying that if you think like that, let everyone see me who is carrying the Lord, then you don't make any progress. But if you think that let everyone see the Lord whom I am carrying, then you make progress. So that's the way the consciousness is. So externally, somebody may not, you know, you may not be able to judge a person as to what that person is, but it's basically the inner thing inside. What are you actually thinking about? Are you really thinking from that point of view that how can I please the Lord, or how can I serve the Lord, or are you thinking about yourself? So apparently somebody may be doing a devotion service, but then devotion service is, you know, externally maybe it's the same, but internally if the consciousness is different, then you make different, you either make progress or you don't make the progress. It's like that. So what we really need to imitate is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls who have dedicated their lives for the welfare of others, who have dedicated lives for the welfare of other living entities, who have dedicated life, are undergoing all inconveniences for the other's benefits. So it is said that the character is more important than integrity of the person. So it's said that do as they do, but then the most important is that desire as they desire. You know, what they desire, try to desire that. And what the great devotees desire, they desire nothing but the welfare and the pleasure of the Lord. As Srila Prabhupada asked once, what if we do not have the desire? He said, desire for the desire. And if I don't have that also, he says, desire to desire the desire for the desire. You know, that's how it's to be done. And if you have that right desire, then Krishna will guide and protect us as we chant holy names. Otherwise, we'll be doing all the activities, but then if you don't have the right cultivation of the proper desire, then probably we'll not be doing any progress. We'll be just at the same level. So this is what I wanted to share today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.